Introduce yourself, please.
Hello. I am Senator Kay Wolf, Kansas, and my district is District 7, which is basically northeast Johnson County.
Great. I should introduce myself, too. I'm filling in for Sam Zeff. I'm Brian Ellison. Here's Sam's voice.
This is State House Blend. I'm Sam Zeff. We're using coffee and donuts to help us better understand the historic legislative session underway in Topeka, the issues, and the people in the Kansas legislature. Here we go.
All right, we've got the coffee, we've got the donuts, and joining Kay and me today in the KCUR production studio are Lindsay Rice Yoshida of Prairie Village. She's a teacher and a citizen, actually a constituent of Kay Wolf, so that's a good thing. Welcome, Lindsay.
Thank you. Good morning.
And Kansas City Star political reporter Dave Helling is back with us. Welcome,
great,
Dave.
Great to be here, as always.
All right, so first, the mandatory two questions for you, Kay. Tell us about your kids and your pets, and then about how you got into politics.
Okay. Well, I have two boys, ages 38 and 40, and I have two grandchildren, 5 and 2. They all live in Kansas City, very close to me. And my business is actually, I have two dogs, two standard poodles, and I actually have a dog business called Wolf's Play and Stay.
Excellent. What a great name for a pet business. Wolf, that worked out well.
Absolutely, it did. So. And really how I started in politics was I started as a Prairie Village City Council person. And from there, I spent 5 years at Prairie Village Council, and this is my 10th year now in the legislature.
Excellent. Well, we're glad you're here with us. We are taping on what is supposed to be the last day of the legislative session, but here you are, adjourned for the weekend. The Kansas legislature is so pleased with State House Blend that they wanted to extend it at least a couple more weeks. So we'll talk about that. But first, we're going to go to our guests. Let's start with you, Lindsay Rice Yoshida. What's on your mind?
Well, Senator, first, I want to thank you for voting against the concealed carry law. And I understand that you were outnumbered in the voting. And my family and friends want to spend time in a gun-free environment. And starting July 1st, what do you suggest we do to feel safe in the 7th District?
Oh, I think that's a tough question because, as you just said, I think you see that the concealed carry legislation was overwhelmingly approved. And really, we've taken most of the rights away from the local government now with regard to, you know, being able to state whether you can actually have guns or you can't have guns. So it's now obviously, we can have obviously open carry as well as concealed carry. I think at this point in time, the only thing that we can do is try to rely on our local police force to try to make us aware of any safety concerns that they might have and put our trust in them. That's just about all I can see that we can do. Some people say that, well, if you have a gun, that you're more protected than if you're not. But my concern with that is many people do not know how to use a gun, including myself. And the new legislation requires no training, which I think was a huge issue with regard to passage of this bill.
Kay, you and other moderate Republicans were opposed to that. The Democrats were opposed to that. Do you see any chance that ever goes back, or are we going to – that the law of the land in Kansas for a long time to come?
I think it's the law of the land in Kansas for a long time, as long as the makeup of the legislature stays the way it is. Now, things can change. I mean, unfortunately, I think it would have to be something very drastic, like someone got actually killed or a tragedy that would make the legislature go back and say, maybe we should revisit this and see if really what we've done is working.
Kay, from afar, for a lot of your constituents, it seems like the legislature is obsessed with issues like this. They do guns. They did abortion again yet this year. Is that right? Do you think that you and your colleagues spend too much time on these sort of peripheral, emotional, social issues to the detriment of more focus on things like taxes and budget and school spending, that type of thing?
Well, and of course, it's just my own personal opinion, but I absolutely think that. And not only that, I think I don't think it's really good for the state because you know, you can go too far, and I think sometimes you just keep pushing, 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 and I'm afraid that's what our legislature is doing right now. you make bad decisions and you don't really think through potential consequences. So, I mean, to me, the social issues are really the hardest. They're very emotional for everyone. I don't know that the gun issue is really an emotional issue. Obviously, abortion is. I think the gun issue really is more of the people that that vote for that really do feel like it is a
But isn't wouldn't right. you agree, Senator, that the reason that people go – this isn't just true in Kansas, by the way, but most state legislatures mm-hmm. – the reason that people run for those offices these days, it seems to be more oriented to making political statements on things like guns and abortion rather than sort of the nuts and bolts of running a government. I mean, I've covered politics for 30 years, longer actually, and you do get a sense that over that time frame, the idea of sort of civil service where you go to the state capitol, pass necessary laws, fund what needs to be funded, and then you go home has given way to sort of a talk show mentality, you know, where everybody wants to make a point on things like same-sex marriage or abortion or whatever. Is that right? Is that impression that we may have accurate in your view?
It's my impression. You know, I can't speak for everyone, but right. I would definitely think that is the case. I think it's unfortunate. I don't think it's only in the state of Kansas, as you said. I think it's kind of sweeping the nation and actually even on the federal government level as
right.
well. But I think the other part of that piece of that is that for a long time, the more conservative legislators felt like they could never pass anything because we always had the balance
right.
in the legislature.
Right.
So now I think it's like you've opened the doors and, okay, the doors are open, so we're going to get everything we possibly can.
It's kind of like recess, isn't it?
Yeah, that's a very apt metaphor.
You know, the
metaphor.
Doors are open.
Yeah. So I filled in for Sam a few weeks ago, and we asked then about how we're going to close the $400 million budget gap. That was several weeks ago, and so there have been meetings. The budget committees have met. The Ways and Means Committee, all of that. Doesn't sound like we're any closer. Here's the news from this week.
There's a new plan headed for debate in the Kansas House. A legislative committee has advanced a proposal that would focus on sales tax to fill a budget hole of more than $400 million. State House reporter Stephen Caranda has more.
The bill relies mostly on increasing the Kansas sales tax rate from 6.15% to 6.85%. It also reduces or eliminates most tax deductions. Republican Representative Kasha Kelly, one of the plan's authors, would prefer more spending cuts, but says sales tax is another option.
You purchase a lot, you're taxed more. You purchase less, you're taxed less. If you have to go a tax, it is the fairest.
The bill also lowers the sales tax rate on food and drops the lowest income tax rate to help ease the impact on lower-income Kansans. But Democratic Representative Tom Sawyer says the changes will still hit low-income Kansans.
We're still taxing food very highly, and it's unfair when you've got 333,000 business owners paying zero income tax.
Some other plans do include changes to business income tax rates. I'm Stephen Caranda at the Kansas State House.
So you heard the report from Stephen Caranda. Are we any closer to closing that $400 million budget gap? Last night, the Kansas House, the day we're recording this, last night the Kansas House did not approve any of those plans. Each one went down in turn. What's happening here?
Well, probably the biggest thing that's happening is it's a standoff basically between the Senate and the House. And it's like who goes first and who – we don't want to take the first step, so let's wait for the other one to take the first step. I mean, I've actually heard that from both sides. I've heard friends in the House saying that we're not going to take a vote on anything until we see where the Senate stands. I've had my friends in the Senate say the same thing. The bad part about the situation that we're in now is that you have so many different reasons for not passing a tax a revenue package. You know, one is that some think we need to keep cutting. Some think that we don't want a sales tax. That we know. Some think that the problem is that we have cut income taxes too much, and some just want to blend. So I think trying to gain that consensus in either the House or the Senate is going to be fairly difficult. I believe, though, that it will be much easier in the Senate to achieve that consensus. You know, when you're dealing with 125 people in the House, that's a lot. So personally, that's the reason I would like to see where the House is coming in on that. Oh, and the other group is that I didn't make this mess, mm-hmm. so I'm not going to fix this mess.
Right. Everyone thinks that it's someone else's fault. I mean, what would you do? You're one of those senators with the opportunity to put forward a plan. What would you do?
Well, what I think's right is never going to happen. I actually said this in caucus the other day because, you know, we were talking about how we got to this situation where we are in Kansas, and actually this really came from our tax chair. And he said many people think it's because of, you know, the LLC piece of it, et cetera. He goes, well, the truth of it is what really happened. It's because of the income tax people that the income tax level that everyone has shared in has gotten to this point. And I said, I totally agree with you that I think that is exactly what happened. But unfortunately, there's not the will of the body in this legislature to go back and fix that problem. So at least that's what I believe. I don't see that happening. There's many of us that think it should, but the March to Zero is very ingrained in many of the legislators up there.
So you would raise income taxes?
I would. Because I think that's a hard thing to do, but I think it's really the crux of the problem. That is the problem as far as I'm concerned. Too much, too soon.
So if you had to put on your prognosticator's hat, you've said you don't think they're going to do that. What are they going to do? How do you get to $400 million?
Well, I think it probably is a combination of some type of sales tax. I think you probably will see the LLC piece of it pulled back, if not totally repealed.
Business owners will have to pay some tax.
Right. I know that the Senate's already we do have a version of that, I think, where we are pulling that back and with a passive income. So you'll be paying some tax on your royalties, your rents, I think maybe at 4.7%, and then income, your income would be at 2.7%. I mean, there's ways to get there, but it's probably going to be a bundling of different things.
That's still a long way to $400 million.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, one of the things that two things that are pretty clear now after a couple of weeks of this extended session is, first, Kansas is in a hell of a pickle. I mean, this, having again covered politics for some time, this isn't a $30 or $40 million hole. So fixing the problem will be enormously painful. I mean, there's just no way around that.
And you have to fix it going forward.
And you have to,
not just for next year.
And
but
by the way, people talk about filling a $400 million hole. The House plan that was voted down Friday would have been $1.1 billion in tax increases over a three-year period. $1.1 billion. That's double what Kathleen Sebelius, by the way, proposed back in 2004 for some context. So, A, Kansas is in a mess. The other thing that Kay said that I think is so interesting and important is Kansas has always been sort of divided into three segments: Democrats, very conservative Republicans, and the moderate Republicans. So you need to cobble together two of those groups somehow to get a working majority. Either you get the conservatives and moderates and the GOP together, or you get the moderates and the Democrats.
Right.
And, I don't sense, and Kay, tell me if I'm wrong, I don't sense there's any enthusiasm from the Democrats and the moderates to bail out the conservative Republicans. Because what the conservatives in essence want is for you guys to vote for the tax increases.
Right.
So they can claim it was your – and I get the sense that you guys are all saying, wait a minute, you created this mess. You get out of it.
Is that
and
true?
And so that's going to go on for a while until, in my view, and maybe you could respond to this, until the governor steps forward. I mean, it almost takes the governor to break this logjam, doesn't it?
I mean, I do agree with you, and that's going back to what you were saying with regard to – because most of us did not vote for any of these tax plans in the moderate Republican world or the Democrats.
Right.
So – and the other part of that is many of the conservative Republicans have signed all these pledges, these no-tax pledges, so it has really put them on the line. And the other part of it is that many of us were really targeted, as you probably know, in the elections 3 years ago for exactly doing that, for raising the sales tax. So I think you're right, Dave. I mean, I think that, many of us feel that, again, we didn't create this. So you're going to have to step up to the table. You're the one that voted for the tax increases, the tax reductions, the income tax reductions. And so it's more of on your shoulders to fix it. Now, I will have to say, some are really set in stone about that. I also cannot see, as a responsible legislator, I cannot let the state, it cannot not be fixed. And I think historically, moderate Republicans are fixers. No matter what, they look at it and they go like, you know, we have to fix it like we did with the one-cent sales tax. Right. You know, it's a problem, so we're going to fix it.
In other words, someone needs to be an adult in the room.
Exactly.
And Kansas has lacked adult supervision for some time. And so – but, you know, the governor has to be a part of that, it seems like to me. Maybe not.
I think the governor I think he should be a part of it, but this is my own opinion here. I have not seen that so far. Yeah. His attitude has been the only way we're going to fix this is through consumption taxes. I do not think a straight consumption tax is just not going to happen in either the House or the Senate.
All right. So it was supposed to be the last week of the session, and the Senate and the House did consider a whole bunch of other legislation. Some of it was significant. One of those involved the selling of full-strength beer in grocery stores. So the Senate voted this week 11-26 to allow grocery stores to sell full-strength beer. You were among the 11 who voted yes, but you lost that vote. What is the deal with Kansas? Why will that not ever pass?
I think it's a very strong lobbying group, number one. I do think that probably there's some validity with regard to the rural areas potentially. Maybe it's harder on them than it is on the Johnson County area. You know, you may realize that they also put forward a proposal for the county option. To me, that solves the problem. Okay, if you're very concerned that, you know, that it's going to close your liquor stores or that your people don't want it, your constituents don't want it, then put it to a county option. But I think they're afraid of doing that because they're afraid that the public will want to be able to do that.
Another issue facing the legislature still to come is about Uber, a deal concerning insurance requirements and background checks. Looks like that's actually going to pass. Was that a victory for consumers or a victory for Uber?
I think it was a victory for consumers. And unfortunately, I think that was very misunderstood by most of the consumers because they felt like that we were telling Uber they cannot operate in the state of Kansas. And we were not at all doing that. We were trying to say, we want you in Kansas, but we want our constituents protected from a safety standpoint. And I don't think we were ever worried about Uber actually leaving the state of Kansas. In fact, the day after we vetoed that, Uber was right back there the next morning talking with us about, okay, how can we come to an agreement? Hmm. And I am very happy that we have reached that agreement.
Because we all like to use it.
Absolutely.
Lindsay Rice Yoshida, you're one of Kay Wolf's constituents. You hear her talk about what things are like in the legislature these days. How does that make you feel as a citizen?
Well, I appreciate the conversation about the budget, and I do also hope that someone can step up to the plate and help us.
Be the grown-up in the room.
Yes,
I saw you nodding
yes.
when Dave said that.
Do you and your colleagues, Lindsay, where do you teach?
I teach English.
Where?
I'm a private tutor.
Oh.
And also a
I just wonder if, you know, teachers are obviously paying attention to what's going down in Topeka. Do they have a sense that this logjam will be broken or not?
Well, I don't know. It's hard to tell what's actually going to happen in Kansas these days. I'm a little unsure about how things can move forward. It seems like there's a lot of stopping.
You know, one of the things you hear all the time is that, and Kay, I'm sure you've heard this too, is, yeah, things are terrible and they can't reach an agreement and it's a mess. But the voters chose this. Do you have a sense of that, you know, you and your neighbors? I mean, one of the things I've written repeatedly in the Star is, hey, you know, Sam Brownback won fair and square and was reelected fair and square. And all of these legislators, I mean, it wasn't like a coup. I mean, the voters went for them.
Mm-hmm.
What does that?
Defend yourself as a voter.
Yeah,
Lindsay.
Well, I'm not really. I guess probably how
not
Lindsay
to put
voted,
you on the spot or anything,
Lindsay. But there is a sense that the public has a role in this, right?
Well, maybe the public doesn't have all the information. And as things happen, maybe we don't really – it's not what we expected or what we thought was going to happen.
Yeah.
I'm continually surprised by what the outcome is as far as, you know, gun legislature and also public transportation. That's also an issue that's important to me, and education. So I don't know. I feel a little bit helpless. It's nice to come on here and actually talk and be able to be part of a conversation.
Yeah.
But, you know, I can go to the voting. I could go to my sheriff's office and say, how can I feel safe in my district? But I don't know. I feel like I'm a little bit swayed by.
Right. And the other thing that's true is, and this isn't well understood, but the other thing that's true is you can vote as you vote. Mm-hmm. That probably won't change what happens on guns, mm-hmm. no matter how you vote, right? I mean, mm-hmm. so one vote doesn't really make a difference on concealed carry or some of these other issues. But in the aggregate, you know, Kansas is kind of getting the government that it picked, right, or not?
Well, I think you're absolutely right, Dave. And for that reason, I think, you know, I respect my colleagues, no matter if I agree with them or not, yeah. because the public – They won it fair and square. Mm-hmm. People went to the voting booths and they put them in there. So, but going back to what Lindsay said, I think that's very true with regard many times why the vote comes out the way it does. Because it is hard for really the general public to really be informed. They only know most of the time what they're hearing, they're reading in the newspaper, or they're hearing on the radio, or they're hearing from the politicians themselves and the postcards that are coming, or what they're right. saying on the TV, et cetera. So to really know really what's going on, it's very difficult.
Now, I've just raised my hand and suggest that we're doing the best we can to inform the public yes. about what's going on.
But in this
era, it's difficult as Casey.
Well, turns. Right. And as you said, Dave, I mean, the question is, can the voter actually change it, even if they are well informed? So I guess my question to you, Kay, you're one of the moderate Republicans. You have expressed publicly your dislike of a lot of what your party's leadership has done. Do you see 2016 offering a different range of choices? Would a voter who wants to change how things are going in Topeka have any other options come 2016 or 2018?
You know, I think I don't see it happening in the next election, but I do see that it's a potential I think in the next governor's election, especially what happens with the state between now and then. And that goes for electing legislators as well. Because now I think the public actually does believe some of the things that they heard back in the last election, that we are in a financial crisis, but right. they just weren't believing it.
Yeah, one of the things that's always been a problem for us is we've been writing for 4 or 5 years that this problem was coming, but every year you could do a one-time transfer, you cover up here, you move. And so the results of the problem aren't really apparent to most voters. But that the time for that is over. I mean, that's why this is such a fascinating time, because, as I say, Kansas is in an unprecedented pickle.
Yeah.
And I think the public does begin to grasp.
In fact, here's another bit of commentary that I'd mm-hmm. like your reflection mm-hmm. on, Kay, about the situation Kansas is in. This is the prayer from yesterday's opening of the session from the Senate chaplain. This is yesterday's Friday's session. He said, "Heavenly Father, we're in a spot here where certain decisions have to be made. In the 1800s, one Ambrose Bierce gave his tongue-in-cheek definition of what it means to decide." This is the prayer from the chaplain. "It's to succumb to the preponderance of one set of influences over another set. He then gave this example of a leaf. 'A leaf was driven from a tree. I mean to fall to earth,' said he. 'The west wind rising made him veer. Eastward,' said he, 'I now shall steer. The east wind rose with greater force,' said he. 'Twas wise to change my course.' Lord, help us to increase our connectedness to you, that more and more our decisions will be firm and resolute, not wishy-washy like that immature leaf." That was the Senate chaplain, Cecil Washington, yesterday. Do you think his prayer will be answered, Kay?
Well, I guess if nothing else, we all know that we cannot leave the statehouse until the budget is balanced by constitutional law. So we're going to get there one way or the other. And as Dave said, it's probably going to be a very painful process. So a lot of people are going to have to veer, I think, to a different direction.
When do you think it'll happen?
I really think it's still at least 2 weeks out. I think next week, by the end of next week, that we will have a much better idea of potentially where some people are willing to go. But there's, as happened yesterday, nobody wants to go down the road. Do I want sales tax? You know, do I want to do the LLCs? Do I want a cigarette tax? They don't want to vote on them individually.
Nickel a gallon right. gas taxes.
Yeah,
out
right.
There
5 cents a gallon.
Property tax reform.
And honestly, to tell you the truth, I am not a big fan at all of this high sales tax at all, because we're sitting right here on state line. That is not a good thing.
One of the things in the House committee, you know, they were all saying, we can't have higher liquor taxes and gas taxes. That'll chase everyone to Missouri. But we can raise the sales tax to 7.5 cents. Well, wait a minute.
We have some grocery stores on the Missouri side as well.
That's going to chase some people over,
absolutely.
Too. None of the answers, Kay, are good. None of them. That's what's so fascinating. There is no easy, good answer.
Kay, are you surprised at the way that the leadership has brought this to the House to let each of those options sort of be voted on separately on the floor instead of coming with a comprehensive plan that already has the support of essentially a majority?
Well, now, yesterday it was all packaged together. That the House bill really was a package, and I think there's another one in the House also.
But it didn't have the support. It was destined for failure.
Absolutely, and I think they knew that. I mean, they wanted to put it on the floor, but potential amendments could have been put on it, obviously, and voted up or down. But that really didn't, and everything was on a voice vote, as you know, no roll calls.
Yeah.
As well.
But one of the things I think the House is trying to do, or at least the argument you're hearing from some, is let's get something over to the Senate side. Anything, you know, a tax on hot air balloons, something, so that there would be a vehicle to begin to serious negotiations. The House can't even get to that point. I mean, you can't even get to a point where you just have sort of a shell in which you can put stuff. So that's really the first step, isn't it, Kay?
It is.
Yeah.
And that's the unfortunate part about it. No matter whether you like it or not, you have to have something to talk about, to compromise on, to see where can we get from here.
Right.
And as long as we don't have that, we're never going to get anywhere.
So before we go, I want to go back to Lindsay as our citizen here. One more question or comment for Senator Kay Wolf.
Well, we've talked about some things that are really important to me and some that I've learned about, too. So as I'm a tutor and a sub at a private high school, and I have students on both sides of the state line, although Johnson County schools are some of the best in the area, in my opinion, students in the public schools in the 7th District still lack reading and writing skills. And I know this is an important issue for you, too. And I'm wondering, what percentage of funding for our public schools in the 7th District did you actually restore?
Oh, I don't know if I know the answer to that question with regard to actually restoring it, because you probably know we passed the block grant this year, which actually negated our past formula. Mm-hmm. Really and truly, you hear that I'm not sure that we actually restored anything. I would say we didn't restore anything. We probably kept it flat, as mm-hmm. I would say. But what we did allow on that, and I did actually vote for the block grant. My representatives did not vote for the block grant. Mm-hmm. So we have very different views on why we did that and why we didn't. Inherently, I feel like our present formula is not working, and it's not fair for Johnson County, and it will never, ever, ever be changed. I've been there 10 years, and part of the representatives in my district felt like that a new formula should be created before we went further. I don't believe that would ever be the case. We did allow that what we call supplemental LOB. That's never been able to be used before. I think it was about $1.5 million for Shawnee Mission to be utilized to make up for some of the money that we were taking away from them. Mm-hmm. So as you may know, Shawnee Mission actually did support the block grant. But really my reason for that was we need to change what we have been doing since 1992. It's not working for Johnson County. I don't even think it's working for the state. Mm-hmm. So it was just a means to an end for me in order for us to get to a better position.
And who's going to step up and be the adult in that situation?
You know, I think Johnson County will have a seat at the table this time. We didn't have a seat last time. No Johnson County. I think one Johnson County legislator actually voted for that in 1992. It was very rural, controlled. So we have been told, and I actually do believe that. Johnson County actually came out fairly good on the end of even the block grant, better than some of the rural areas, that at least Blue Valley and Shawnee Mission superintendents will be at the table this time.
Do you think there'll be another run at school funding before you adjourn this year, cutting school funding?
I
know you approved the block grants, but already you're hearing whispers that we need to take another run at whacking the schools.
Still $400 million
to close.
You know, I don't think – I can only speak for the Senate on that side. There's not the will in the Senate to do that.
Yeah.
So you've got to find money. There isn't – you're not going to cut any more – spending, at least at the level that you need to
it would be desperate. I mean, it would be the very, very last thing that any of us want to do on the Senate side.
Yeah.
All right. We could talk a long time, but we're going to have to stop. My thanks to Lindsay Rice Yoshida, our citizen guest.
Thank you.
And to Dave Helling of the Kansas City Star.
Great to be.
And to you as well, Senator Kay Wolf. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
It's time for our most noteworthy tradition here at Statehouse Blend. I hope you've come prepared. We close with your favorite song.
Oh, I didn't come prepared.
Oh my gosh.
Let's see.
Off
what
top
is my
of your head.
Actually, Representative Clayton told me you should be prepared for that. So I've been so darn busy.
She was prepared.
Okay, how about this? I just heard it. The Way We Were with Barbara Streisand. I love that for a lot of reasons. The Way We Were might apply to us in the State House as well.
I like that we can mine these songs for their meaning. We will go out with Barbara Streisand. Good choice. Excellent choice, in fact. State House Blend is produced by Matt Hodapp. You can subscribe to the program on iTunes or find us on KCUR.org. You can also get a tantalizing tidbit of this podcast every Tuesday morning at 11 on Up to Date. You can also find us on social media. We're on Twitter at KCUR. Sam Zeff is due back next week. He's at Sam Zeff. I'm Brian Ellison at PTS Brian. Thanks for listening. Can it be-